This encore program for Fire on the Earth was chosen based on the request from many listeners.
Fire on the Earth. Our Holy Father has said the Church is missionary by her very nature. The Church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the Church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome to Fire on the Earth. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and we're here again today with Chuck Greenwood. If you haven't had a chance to tune into the program this week, I'd encourage you to go to our website at renewalministries.net and listen to the programs there that are archived and listen to them on your computer or download them, put them on your iPod. It's been a fantastic week, and Chuck has been kind enough to join us and to share his story, a very personal story about his journey as a child of God, and both journey in the light and journey in the darkness, dealing with trauma and difficulty in his life, as well as great temptation in his life and amazing success. But at the same time, you just the whole gamut. I mean, it's the whole ball of wax is there. And Chuck's been kind enough to share with us that story. And I think there's something for everyone that can listen to the program that Chuck has brought us this week. And I'm really grateful. Thank you, Chuck, for being with us again.
Oh, thank you very much.
No, it really is a blessing that you're willing to share your story. And we ended yesterday. You were talking about the move from Connecticut and why down to Arizona and the big job opportunity there, and how you were kind of, without realizing, you're running away from living in the light and the challenge of that, and the as you put yourself in a new situation without the support, without accountability and that kind of stuff, you fell back in old habit patterns of sin, as well as, you know, kind of going back and forth, which we many people do. You know, one step forward, two steps back, we're kind of all over. But you described it as two very difficult years for your life and for your family, and that during that time, your wife, Diane, got sick. And tell us about that and kind of where the Lord's brought you guys to this point.
Yeah, amidst everything else that was happening in Arizona with my job and my family, Diane, I had mentioned this before, when we were in Connecticut, before we left Connecticut, she was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis. She had some vision problems. She went to a doctor. He said, that's not vision. You got to see a neurologist. Ultimately, there is no test that says you have MS.
Yeah.
It's a process of elimination. But she was, at first, when she heard it, we were just kind of shocked. She thought she was one of Jerry's kids. I said, no, that's muscular dystrophy, because we didn't know anything about MS. We did some research, but basically for the first 10 years, I was the only person that would have noticed she had an issue, sometimes with a little balance and vision issues. But for 10 years, she was basically issue-free. Part of the problem with MS is it affects the entire central nervous system, but a lot of MS people deal with depression.
Yeah.
Well, I probably put my family and my wife, and probably the most as a depressing situation as I can imagine at that point in time, because she could see my misery. She could see the kids were struggling, and we had all these toys and all this great stuff, the best house we've ever had. None of that can make you happy. Nothing.
Isn't that astounding?
I had everything I had ever wanted in the house. It was an unbelievable place. And like I say, the Porsche and all the craziness of that. But the point was, is that, and then she really became depressed, clinically depressed, to the point where my biggest fear was coming home and finding her dead and home. And I was just hoping I would find her and my children wouldn't. I mean, because it takes a long time after you to try to drugs and things like that, that you can take medications.
Mm-hmm.
But through God's mercy and grace has been something. My story, my whole life is a journey of mercy, of not mine, but God's.
Yeah.
You know, mercy for somebody from the time they were born until this point in time. Unbelievable mercy. Unbelievable mercy. And through his mercy, she was gotten drugs, and she was able to correct that and to get stable. But there were months that I lived in absolute fear. In fact, I expected her not to make it. And my kids, you can imagine, again, another impact on my children at a very important time of their life, my daughters especially. So that was going to continue. That was the first hint that the MS had now was really going to start to march and take parts of her life away. Her ability. And again, this is a woman, if I can say something. I mean, when I met her the first day of college, the very first class that I had at college, I met her. I've loved this woman since the time I saw her, because she was different. She was genuine. And she was a dynamic go-getter. And so this is a person that's, talk about commitment and staying with a person, stayed with me through all of these journeys so far from, you know, the craziness we've gone through. But anyway, it was a time where I really now was dealing with her illness, and I was dealing with my kids and this, and again, literally praying every day on the way to work, crying, and just asking God, deliver me from this. I'll do anything. I'll do whatever you ask.
Yeah.
If you will just free
you just
me.
You came to a realization, I've made a big mistake.
Huge mistake.
And I can't get myself out of this.
No.
Lord, you have to help me.
Right.
Yeah. And so then how did the Lord answer that for you?
I said, you know, I'll look for these jobs. I'll take anything. Lord, you know, it was my agreement with him. If you send me a job that will get me out of here, I will go. And so one night Diane answers the phone and she said, this guy's on the phone and she says, it sounds like the Godfather. And he was a headhunter from Ann Arbor, Michigan.
Yeah.
And he had this job at this small company in Ann Arbor, $10 million company. We wouldn't have even, in the past companies I was with, wouldn't even bought a company this small. It was one of its divisions.
Yeah.
And I said, $10 million. Company and all that, you know. I the job was, the title was prestigious, but the company wasn't. But I was for. I said, "What they call, if they offer me this job, we're going, and we're going to Ann Arbor." And sure enough, you know, they offered me the job. I said, "Diane, we got to go." We sold our house, took a huge loss. It was when Phoenix went through their financial crisis and banking crisis, and of course, you know, real estate was. So I lost everything. Everything I had gained, I had basically lost. And I got to, God provided for me every step of the way. He got me money to get a house. And I ended up in Ann Arbor, Michigan, you know, working for a $10 million company as the vice president of human resources. But it was such a step back in one's career that it would be forever difficult to explain on a resume when you were talking to somebody other than I had to get out of there, you know. But I trusted. I got back to trusting in him alone.
Yeah.
I turned everything away, and I said, I will go where you want me to go. I will do what you want me to do.
Isn't that, it's such a crucial decision, isn't it, Chuck?
Yeah.
To really come to the point where we finally say, I'm going to put all my eggs in your basket. I'm letting go of the wheel.
Yep.
I'm letting go. I'm done. I just can't do it anymore, and I can't manage it, that kind of thing, right?
Yeah.
And so
sold my house for a loss, turned in my porch. I said, what are you doing with it? Do whatever you want. It was humbling, but it was good humbling. I needed it.
Yeah.
You know. And so I ended up in Ann Arbor, Michigan. And ended up, God's unbelievable. I go to work, and the people, the person that should have gotten that job, who was as qualified as I was for it, but didn't get it because I had a big name, you know, I'd worked big corporations.
Yeah.
They hired me, and this person could have done it. You know, it turns out to be a guy that's well known to people in this area, Gary Esbeck.
Oh,
and Gary ended up working for me, and he's a beautiful brother. And he says, hey, you know, if you're Catholic, I'm a member of the Word of God, and we go to Mass, you know, over here at Pioneer High this Sunday. If you want to come with us, come with us. And I said, well, yeah, this sounds great. And I was back on, I was going to do whatever God said. And he leads me down there, and all of a sudden I see these people from Connecticut. I see Father Frank McGrath, I see Dan Foley, Steve Tomaszewski, and all these people that I used to know from Connecticut. And they go, what are you doing? I said, you have no idea where I've been. And I really didn't even want to talk it. I was ashamed of that. You know, I didn't even want to talk with them about how bad it was, how bad the experience was. But God brought, look what he did. He took me out of that, plants me back in a place. I'd never been to Ann Arbor before, but plants me back in a place. Father Frank says, while you're out here interim, my family was still in Arizona for a couple months. Come out and live with us. You know, have dinners with us every night. And so I went out and had dinner with Father Frank and his household and all people that you know. And they were all, and every night, I mean, he just took me out of the gutter and just started to rebuild me. It was one of the most loving, merciful acts that's ever
happened.
Wonderful
priest, wonderful pastor.
Yeah. But I mean, one of the most merciful things that God ever did for me, you know, and he's done so many, they're countless.
Well, from that place you ended up becoming the vice president, you went from that company to a giant company.
That company closed, lost their contract, but it was like, all right, Lord, you got me, you used that company to get me here. And sure enough, I started looking for a job. I trust in you, Lord. I'll do whatever you want, you know, again. And all of a sudden, this company that I really liked and admired for a long time, Masco, you know, had a job that was absolutely tailor-made for my skill set. And so I called them and got an interview, and I got hired, you know, as a group employer relations director for Masco. Brought into that organization, a great company, great success. And I felt like, wow, I'm finally I'm back in the big leagues, which for me is a good thing, but it was also, it had its allures.
Sure.
But it was a great organization. And eventually, through that, I ended up hiring my boss. I brought him in to speak, a fellow by the name of Dan Foley.
Yeah.
I brought him in to speak because we were running conference, and the guy that I heard speaking up, I said, oh my God, they're going to fire me if he talks. Yeah. I said, I'll call in Foley. Foley comes in, and you know, long story short, they hire him as the vice president of human resources for the retiring VP of HR. And part of that was a little bit troubling to me because I said, geez, I thought I could get that job.
Yeah.
I thought maybe I felt I was qualified for that. Mm-hmm. As I look in retrospect, I was not anywhere near as qualified as Dan was for that. But anyway, and then of course, again, when Dan eventually retired, I became VP of HR and
a huge company
with a tremendous amount of responsibility. And it was one side of my life that got rectified, and now he had to deal with my faith, continue with my faith and my family. Mm-hmm. My wife's health at this point in time had continued to deteriorate. She went from, you know, the depression was not an issue, but then her bodily, she began to have trouble walking. And then she went from that to not being able to walk really well, to not being able to walk at all, ended up being in a wheelchair. And people with MS have a whole lot of other maladies. You know, she had a stroke. She's had several surgeries that happened to her. So her health is, as God was providing for me at Masco, her health deteriorated. And I was able to begin to live my vocation and my commitment to her, which I hadn't really done the way I had vowed to do it when I got married. Mm-hmm. It was not without struggle, because I still had issues that had to be healed.
Yeah.
For us, it's been kind of an interesting and a great journey, but it was not without. She's had a number of near-death experiences, just had one last January. And so, I mean, that's the life of a person that has MS and at this stage of their journey. But she's a woman of strength and faith beyond anything I could have ever hoped for in myself. And she's probably the closest thing to a saint that I know of on earth.
So. How about that? Yeah, what a gift. And how somehow the story of how the Lord rides straight with crooked lines for us, and just and how crucial it is for us to stay with the Lord and to trust the Lord, and how easy it is, as soon as we get a little bit of freedom, how easy it is for us to want to just bust out and kind of take the wheel again of our life. How often that happens in our lives. That, okay, everything's good now. I'm going to retake the wheel, Lord, and then we'll drive it
I've
right
got
into
it now.
A tree again.
I got it now. Yeah. Thank you. Thanks for the lift.
Yeah.
I'm good at that.
Thanks for the lift. Thanks for the lift.
And God's going, oh, yeah, how's that working out for you?
You know? Right, exactly. Well, you and Diane are a great inspiration to many people and your beautiful family, and she's in our prayers. You guys are in our prayers, and I really thank you for being with us this week. I've personally been very inspired by it and touched by it and challenged by it. I know our listeners have been as well. Thanks for being with us.
Well, thank you. It's been wonderful, Peter.
Yeah. And he did it just at the last minute. As I told people on Monday, I told him I'd like to have him on the radio show sometime, and he came today to pick up a CD, and I said, hey, let's do it right now. And he's hearing his workout stuff as we're talking about some of this stuff. So, it took courage, and you stepped out, and I really thank you for it. So, friends, have a wonderful weekend. God bless you. Let the Lord take the wheel of your life. Have a great weekend.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'm delighted to be able to offer you my new booklet, The New Evangelization, What's Our Message? At the heart of the new evangelization is a fresh proclamation of the gospel. But for many people, even many Catholics, they wonder, what is the message? What exactly is at the heart of that proclamation? In this simple booklet, The New Evangelization, What's Our Message? I take a look at and present in a very specific and simple way what is the core of what we're called to proclaim in this great and important missionary moment in the history of the church. If you'd like a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.